Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Delve. My name is Nathan.
And I'm Alex.
And Alex, just out of curiosity, what is your heart made of?
Gold.
Oh, okay, that's good. What if your heart was made of crystal?
Even better.
Well, good news. On the show today, to talk about crystal hearts, we have Aran and Aviv. Aran, Aviv, thank you for coming on the show.
Very happy to be here.
Thank you for having us. And what a wonderful segue.
Yeah, that's the best I can do. Really.
That's his specialty.
Alex will attest, that is probably the best segue I've done so far.
It really is.
We're honored.
The thing that I want to talk about, you know, Crystal Heart is actually coming to Kickstarter. Before we talk about that, we should talk a little bit about the genus of it. So, up to four players. I'm really curious if you can tell me in your own words just what up to four players is and how this all equates to what you're doing right now.
Aran and I started working together years and years ago. We did a webcomic together back in Israel. We had a really good time working together. We worked together well. So now that we've both moved to London about 4 years ago, we decided to work together again and do another webcomic. We were both interested in board games. Board games is a wonderful world full of content and beautiful visuals and jokes, because board games and gamers are funny. So we decided our webcomic is going to be focused on that. So it was 2 years of that, and we kind of maxed out on board game jokes. We decided to do something slightly different, and our real true passion was actually role-playing games. So we decided to take our main characters, our up to four players, well, they're four players, and have them play a game of their own. And the game that they're playing is actually something we've played 12 years ago with our friends. And we took that system, we developed it a little bit, and we gave our own characters to create their own characters and have them sit and play this game. And that is Crystal Heart.
Ah, all right. So, yeah, so your characters actually have characters all their own.
Yes, we distinguish them by saying players and characters.
Aha, okay, so you have players and characters.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about those players and characters.
Well, the players are very generally based on us, because we needed someone to base them on. And I have a wife, Aviv has a husband, so that's four. And we have varied personalities, gaming personalities, I think, that are pretty distinct. We've took all of them and emphasized them, exaggerated them into these players. And then we did like 2 years of strips with them. So by the time we started the RPG story, we already knew what the players are like, what they like, who they are. So it was pretty easy to think about which characters they're going to create, which I don't want to say player archetypes. I'm not a firm believer in archetypes. I believe in motivations, which is, by the way, why we actually created them, thinking about motivations, which we took each character and said, sorry, each player, my God. We took each player and said, what's the motivation? No, it's not. It happens all the time. We can never.
It's all right.
It's a problem. It's a problem. And we said, which motivation would this player be interested in giving for their character, to their character? And that's how we came up with them. And I think that we have six distinct personalities because of this. Three players, three characters. But obviously not that distinct, because I would claim your character is never not that far away from you.
Right. That's a harder thing to do, is to make a character that's completely foreign to you as a person.
I don't believe it's possible. I don't think it's a thing. I don't even think it's something that we should strive for. That being said, some of our players in the story might think so, and have been trying to play themselves very differently, with, I think, entertaining results.
It can be really fun to play something that's not like you at all. But playing something that isn't remotely even close to, like, human, for instance, is near impossible.
Yes.
Yes, and I think that for an ongoing comic where you're trying to tell a story with these players and these characters, you don't really want to go that foreign. I mean, it might be interesting for, like, one story bit or one joke, but after that it's like, okay, so there's two completely different characters. What are you trying to say?
So tell me a little bit about the actual characters. Like, I'm actually curious because you had mentioned that they're sort of like you. Who are they supposed to represent? Like, I'm going to guess that he's supposed to be sort of like the GM, the game master in this scenario. Nadav?
Yes.
Yep.
Who is he?
He's basically me.
Okay.
He has several very obvious characteristics that are very much like me for everyone who knows me, even slightly. I mean, he wears the same puffy shirts as I do. He's always scruffy. He's into all the games all the time. No one is quite sure what he's actually working at. I mean, what's his job? and he is the eternal GM. I am the eternal GM of our group. I'm always the one running things for our group. Mm-hmm. That being said, lately it's been changing a bit. All of my players, Aviv included, have run one-shots. Aviv is thinking of running the whole new D&D campaign for us.
Ooh.
And that sort of thing is very much encouraged by me, obviously. And and might be reflected in the comic as well, because Nadav would like to play as well, obviously, sometime. But for now, he enjoyed the same thing I enjoy, creating the mechanics that you require in order to have crystals and everything that is crystal related in the world, and tweaking them and working with them, and then telling a magnificent story. Magnificent in scale, not specifically in maybe quality, that's up to you.
I'm guessing then that Nadav is pretty close to you in terms of character. Okay. So it's basically a pretty direct analog.
But it's the easiest one because it's,
right,
I don't want to say just the GM, but compared to how we show the players portraying characters, just having the person who runs things, I mean, there's something very stable and continuous about him. He's just there. He's just doing his thing. While, for example, Rotem, who plays Muna, the leader of the party, is based on Viv. But like all the players, way more exaggerated. I don't think that you would, if you would sit to play with Aviv, you would feel like you're playing with Muna, for example.
I think if you sat to play with all four of us, you could probably match the real person with a player based on them.
Yes.
But maybe not like make a direct comparison between one person and their characters.
Maybe except for my wife, who is the inspiration for Lily. And she is very much Lily. I don't think Lily is very much exaggerated. My wife thinks it's really romantic, by the way. It's brilliant that Lily is so much like her, and Rafaela, Lily's character, is so similar to characters that she would play.
So, Aviva, I will ask you, going back to Rotem for a minute, and Muna, is that pretty close to you? Like, is Rotem a pretty close analog to you?
I think in many ways we're quite close, kind of trying to play a character true to herself and role play more than really delve deep into mechanics is very much something that I do around the table. Mm-hmm. And something that I tried to take care of with both Autumn and Muna is get the sense of Autumn's artistic sensibilities. I think Muna is designed in a way that I would design my own character, kind of. And Autumn herself is a very creative visual person. And I think that's a lot of where our similarities lie.
She's also very much into, let's see what happens. Let's do the wrong thing. Let's have some drama. She's not trying to win. She uses her character as, I don't want to say a pawn, but sort of like a pawn in this dramatic story. And she's more than willing to see Muna go through all sorts of strange things because it seems awesome and interesting. And Aviv is exactly the same way. He's an excellent player to have as a GM.
So it's sort of like experimental gameplay experimental storytelling, that sort of thing that she's looking for.
Yeah, I think she's looking to explore the game, to get a sense of everything that Nadav has created for them. And if she's keeping her own character too safe or sticking to the rules too much, she's not going to see all of that. And there's so much to see.
So in terms of just the player and the character, are they pretty close, or is Rotem playing against type?
I would say she plays exactly two type, but okay. Well, there's a thing in Crystal Heart where when you change your heart with a crystal, the crystal gives you not only superpowers, but also strange new sensibilities. It changes the way you think. Mm. And I think Rotem is using this not as an excuse to try out new ways to play her character, but she's certainly riding along with the wave. So when she, for example, changed the crystal that she had to something that she only knew was fierce, she wasn't sure what the new crystal was all about, but it was fierce. She ran with it and made decisions that were against the group and very much against Muna. Because Rotem wanted to see Muna doing this. I don't want to say cruel. It's not cool, but again,
no, it's
just
new.
It's okay. It's new.
It's just different.
Sure.
And that's entirely something I would do as a player. That's one of the big draws for me to Crystal Heart is the fact that you can just change something very fundamental to your character and then play the character either just slightly differently or completely differently and have total fun with it. That's super fun to me as a player.
Before I talk about the other two characters, because I do, they look amazing. I guess I need a little bit more information about just the general concept behind Crystal Heart so I can kind of get an idea of the characters. So when you were talking about crystals and their interaction with people, can you tell me a little bit more about how that actually works?
Sure. Okay. It all starts from the question, what is fun to play? And what is unique and unusual to play? Because we've already played superheroes. I mean, both of you and I really, really like superheroes. And we like fantasy. And we like... I was always wondering how we can combine the two genres. And I think we sort of did that. Mm-hmm. But more than that, we wanted to have something that you can't experience in another place. Because then why won't you just go and experience that in another place?
Right.
So we have crystals. They give you superpowers and they change your personality. And they are the main thing. I'm leaning over toward the game design discussion. We created them instead of treasure, in a way. You are not looking for gold or magic items. You're looking for crystal. And when you get a crystal, you are not rewarded by more power. You are rewarded by new story options. Every crystal can be used if you spend a Benny, which is a resource in Savage Worlds, a rare resource, so you don't do it all the time. If you spend a Benny, you can use your crystal to evoke any power you can think of, as long as it's within the same theme as the crystal. The regular powers of the crystal are, yes, they are ranked by power. There are weaker crystals, there are more powerful crystals that give you access to more powers, and those are the ones that we are looking for when we go around. But they also have bigger, stronger, and more hindrances, more things that will influence you. When you, for example, we wrote a heroic character, someone who's like level 15 in D&D, and they use a crystal that's really, really powerful, and that person is basically a slave to their crystal. They are now spending months thinking that someone is chasing them because their crystal gives them paranoid delusions that are so powerful, so strong, and work so well within the specific situation they're in that having all of this power is, I mean, what does it give you if you can't use it or use it for the wrong reason? Oh. And that's actually a thing that I think a lot of scene agents, we call our people that can replace crystals, their heart with crystals, agents of scene. Scene is the organization. And I think that scene agents, the more powerful they become, the more experienced they become, the more slightly deranged they become. And you can be Superman-like in strength, but you would be Bizarro-like in in your sensibilities, in what you're trying to do.
In the actual comic of Crystal Heart, your characters are seeking out these crystals.
Yes. And in the role-playing game, they will be seeking them out as well. Yeah. You start with a novice crystal, which is like the weakest one. It's like, eh. And you're looking for seasoned crystal and veteran crystals and the legendary heroic crystal and the legendary crystals.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always love the legendary crystals.
Well, they are actually legendary. They're, with the capital L, they are.
Oh, the capital L.
They've got orange text.
They've got
exactly.
They've got the flavor unique text on the bottom. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
That. The other two players that you have, Lily, you were mentioning earlier. Can you tell me a little bit about Lily and her character?
Her motivation is finding a very powerful crystal. That's why she joined scene. That's what her player wants for her. So she's all about powerful crystals and gaining more strength in a way. Mm-hmm. That being said, she's a street urchin from our East Europe-like land called Bogovia. It's the place where all of the downer endings happen. And she's from there, and she has a horrible backstory. And that's exactly what Lily would like to have. She wants to have a horrible person going through horrible things.
Sounds lovely. That tells me so much about the character. What was the development process for somebody who just wants that?
We have a very interesting strip from ages ago that we actually printed. I printed it for my wife, and it's the only strip I think we printed that have in our house, with Lily playing all sorts of board games. And it's just four panels, and we only show the last moment of the board game. So she's playing, for example, Game of Thrones, the board game, and she loses and she's angry. And she plays Catan and she loses and she's really angry. And then she plays Pandemic and then everyone loses because it's a cooperative game and she's super happy. Because, and they ask why.
Then everyone loses because Matt Leacock made a brutal game.
Basically, yes. And they ask her, why are you happy? We just lost. But she says, it's not about me winning, it's about you losing.
I feel like Lily would enjoy the game Diplomacy.
Oh, yes, probably. Probably. Yes. She would be very much into it, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, fun story. We had Leacock on the show, and I thanked him for making me terrified that diseases are going to destroy me and everything that I know. And he said, well, you're welcome. So at least he's aware. at least he's aware. So that's Lily and her character, Raffaella Arnoldi?
Yes. Sure. Whatever.
Sure. It's close. It's
written down, so we don't
it's
care.
It's written. Yeah, that's right. You don't have to ever say it.
Yeah, you don't say these characters' names out loud, Nathan. They've all got nicknames.
It doesn't matter. You do what you do, call them however you'd like. And do remember, they are fictional
characters.
People played by fictional people. I mean, so, that's fine.
Okay, so don't worry too much about it. Exactly. I'm getting this.
It's Inception.
Exactly, yes.
You mean Einsoption? The last character that you have is a guy or Guy, but again, it's just written down, so it can be either, I suppose.
No, that's actually an actual name, actual Hebrew name from Israel. That's Guy. Yeah.
Oh, it is Guy. Okay, good,
yeah.
Good.
And he's a guy. It's weird, yeah.
Yeah, he is a guy. That makes sense.
How is it spelled?
G-U-Y.
Yeah, that's Nathan. That's Guy.
That's a guy. No, I get why you would think it might be otherwise, because why would someone be named Guy? But that's the name.
Sometimes I have seen that and they go, no, it's Guy. And I'm like, all right, fine.
Sure.
Okay, go for it. But anyway, so Guy, who is just the way it's spelled, what is his character and how did you come up with him?
He plays Macintosh Frachtenhauser.
Excellent.
The thing is, Guy is the heavy war game player. He plays Warhammer.
He's me.
Warhammer.
Yeah, he's Alex. Good.
He enjoys the crunchy bits and using them in clever ways and making sure they all work together. So he wasn't sure about his character at first. And I wasn't sure about his character at first. So we decided to make it into the second page. The second page is about him telling us about the mechanics of the character and then deciding who that person is. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's a very legitimate way to create characters, and I really enjoy rolling for my attributes and then deciding who this person is. Mm-hmm. Guy, of course, would never in 1,000 years roll for attributes. That's insane. Right. You don't know right. what you're going to get.
You don't do that in war games. What are you, crazy?
Exactly. and we've taken it a step further because the specific storyline that we are currently in, the third one, is about him and his family members. And we showed just before we started it how he approached the GM and said, I want to have a personal storyline, something about me and my family. Because I don't know a lot about my character, and I would like to know some more. So let's invent something. Let's make something. So that's what we're doing.
So what does Mac really do as a function in the game? Like, what's his general thinking as a character?
I think originally he was supposed to be the mechanic. Mm. And I don't think he's mechanicked anything quite yet. He's from Fjordstad, which is the northernmost land in our world. It's the land of scientists, well, crazy scientists, and sure. All kinds of inventions, and snow, loads of snow. Mm-hmm. So he has that mechanic knowledge, and he operates the tank, the almost all-terrain vehicle that they're driving. But also, apart from all that, he's kind of the tank. He is the tank. He's a big guy. He has one of the powers of his crystal is an armor power, which just covers him in this +2 harder to hit, nice blue force field.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he's kind of between that mechanic, clever guy on one side and just buff protector on the other.
Okay. Not quite like Alex when it comes to role-playing characters.
But it's a character of a character, so it could be like me, Nathan.
It still could be like you.
That's the beauty.
Like, if Hephaestus was playing a character, that might be what he chose. Yeah, there's something to think about. I'm really interested in this whole idea, because I tried this to some degree one time, and will probably never do it again. The idea of making characters and then having those characters have characters. What was the creative process like to develop all of that?
Well, it's really important to always remember we are not telling a role-playing story. We're telling a story about role players. So these are not characters that we created for characters. Everything here, even though it's based on existing rules of an existing system, Savage Worlds, it's a story, and we all created it to tell a specific narrative that we have. I haven't tried playing a character who has a character, and it's not something that is interesting to me personally, and it's not what I'm currently doing. I'm writing a story. So, for example, we thought long and hard about which system to use for this, because at first we thought we are telling a story. We should use a system that tells a story, maybe something fiasco-like or fate. Maybe you want powered by the apocalypse. We'll create a rule set, something. And then we realized how wrong that thought process was, because we don't want a system that will tell our story. I actually have a story to tell. I want to tell about people deciding wrong choices for their characters and thinking about where to invest their points and having this sort of dissonance between player knowledge and character knowledge. And I need a system that will not do any of these things, that will not help me along. I need something like Savage Worlds. Just roll the die and try to get a 4 and run around and jump around and do all of these action-y things. That's what Savage Worlds is for. It doesn't tell me anything. I tell it everything. And that's very good, because I must be in control of everything that's going on.
So, just like Nadav, you have to do...
Yeah,
just like the GM character. Yes.
Just like your GM character. If you have a character that's a GM, does that mean that they're a PC GM? Or are they like a PC master? Or a game player master? I don't know. Somebody clarify that for me. I need to know the answer. Anyway, a big thank you to Aviv and Aran for coming on to the show and talking to us about Up to Four Players and Crystal Heart. It's a very interesting webcomic all about tabletop gaming, and we were really happy to have them on the show. If you want to find more information about that comic, you can actually just go over to it right now, uptoFourPlayers.com. And if you go to uptoFourPlayers.com/Crystal Heart, you can actually sign up so that you can get the starter set, because on the next episode, we are going to be talking about the Kickstarter that is coming right up, actually November 20th, for Crystal Heart, which is going to now be an actual setting for Savage Worlds. So in addition to actually finding out how you play Crystal Heart, we also had to find out a lot about Savage Worlds, which Alex and I are really not familiar with. And it's actually surprising, because when I realized what a community there is around Savage World, they actually just had a Kickstarter themselves for the Adventure Edition, which went incredibly well. They funded in under 5 minutes and had over 5,000 backers. I was really surprised. I think when you actually hear them talk about it, not just the setting, but also the system itself, if you were not familiar with it before, I think you're going to be very intrigued by it. And Crystal Heart as a setting, a lot of interesting stuff going on there, and you're going to want to hear about more of that when we come back on the next episode. If you want to find out more information about Delve, you can go to DelveCast.com and find all of Delve and Orbital and Attempting to Play, all of the things that we've done recently, even some of the little experimental things that I've been playing around with. You can find it all over there. And of course, you can find us online. I am at Citanium, Alex is at EXP Limited, the show is at Delve Podcast, and you can also find Aviv at Aviv Orr, and you can find Aran at NNESK. You can, of course, find us on all sorts of podcast platforms, from Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whatever they're calling it at the moment, Google Play and iHeartRadio, I believe we are on right now. There's basically every place that you find podcasts, you can find us. And of course, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Stars are sort of like crystals, right? You just give me 5 crystals. We'll just call them that. It's fine. When you go over to our website, please check out our Patreon just to see the kinds of things that we have there. Even for $1 a month, you can get all of our additional content, including completely raw interviews with all of these people that we do, the full, complete interviews, nothing cut out. That's fun for audiophiles, I hope. And of course, I want to thank our Shiny Level patrons, Bonnie Ainsworth and Dom Perry, for, you know, helping the cause. Oh, and I also want to give a special thank you to Amit Moshe for helping to make this episode happen. We really appreciate it. And now I'm realizing I probably should have also thanked Sydney for making our interview with Amit happen. I gotta thank a lot of people from now on. I think that's just inevitable. On the next episode, we seek out some Crystal Hearts of our own and see if we can survive some Savage Worlds. Until then, thank you for joining us, and good gaming, everyone. That might be what he chose. Yeah, there's ooh, something to think about.
Just hiccuped. Excuse me. I'm going to eat more peanut butter.
Oh, more peanut butter for you. Get on that.
I've literally just got the jar sitting here.
Yeah, it's probably smart. Yeah. You're welcome for your peanut butter explosion. I love how you're doing your own Foley effects now. That's great. Were there any other mechanics? My mic has fallen out. Wait. Oh, no. There we go.
The peanut butter.
No. my headphone jack came out of the thing.
Slow clap for Nathan.
Yeah. I'm slow clapping myself. That's how sad this is.
I was slow clapping.
Oh, okay. I was wondering who was clapping.
Yeah, but no, it was me. I was slow clapping for myself. Just going to have my pity party by myself here.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, not that.